This is what Sudan's capital sounded like this weekend and today. The loud whir of jets followed by explosions. Tensions had been building for months between the two most powerful figures in the country's military government. On Saturday, that tension turned to fighting. For three straight days, the conflict between army troops and paramilitary forces have turned once quiet parts of Khartoum into what residents are describing as a war zone. Joining me now is Jeffrey Feltman, a former State Department special envoy for the Horn of Africa. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's at the center of what residents are describing as a war in their capital right now? How did this start?
I mean, it's basically a question of lust for power. You had these two generals, as you mentioned, the two most powerful generals in the country and their respective security services that had a real marriage of convenience ever since the overthrow of Omar Bashir back in 2019, those heroic protests that were the engine behind the ouster of Omar Bashir. And this was a partnership based on mutual interests. Mutual interests basically in undermining the civilian aspirations for democratic rule. A partnership based on rejecting the idea of accountability for past crimes, including genocide in Darfur. So there's a lot of things that these two generals had in common that allowed them to overcome sort of ethnic, bureaucratic, institutional jealousies and rivalries. But in the end, that partnership did not define who would end up being on top. Ultimately, once they were able to sideline or derail the civilian transition. So what you have now is a fight to the death for who is going to prevail should military rule continue in Sudan.
So you point out this is a battle for supremacy between Sudan's military leader, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and the commander of the paramilitary rapid support forces, who were allies. But is this conflict now the death knell to any civilian transition in Sudan?
They demonstrated their contempt for the civilian transition in Sudan all the way back in October 2021 when they overthrew the civilian prime minister of Sudan, threw him, cabinet members, others in jail. You know, they basically showed that those two generals are contemptuous of the civilian transition. But there's these heroic resistance committees that brute force have not tamed. You know, these were the engines behind the ouster of Omar Bashir back in 2019, these neighborhood, decentralized, tireless committees. And I don't think that even this violence is going to stop their aspirations and their efforts to get to a democratic civilian transition in Sudan. Obviously, it's going to be much harder and much more complicated, particularly if these two generals, one or both, survive this current violence, since they've already made their views clear that they will never have civilian oversight Sudan security services. So right now, obviously, what is needed is a ceasefire. It's the region is deploying three presidents to try to broker a ceasefire, but the ceasefire should not lead to another process by which the belligerents are able to divvy up the spoils of power under the guise of stability.
Who has the ability to stop the violence? I mean, which countries, everybody's calling for it, including the U.S., to stop the violence? Is a ceasefire possible?
You know, I think it's encouraging, first of all, to see the unity in the international community, whether you're talking about the Arab League or the African Union or various countries, you know, calling for a ceasefire. So you've got unity behind the idea of a ceasefire. But how do you implement that in practice? And the sub-regional organization for the Horn of Africa, a group called IGAD, yesterday appointed three presidents, president of Kenya, Djibouti, and South Sudan, to go to Khartoum and try to mediate. And because the region has such interest in making sure that Sudan doesn't descend into total civil war because of the impact of the region, I think that we should all get behind the regional efforts to end this conflict now.
That's Jeffrey Feltman, former State Department Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa. Thank you so much for your time, Jeffrey.
Thank you for having me.